Good morning. You're joining us for The Morning Show. I'm Kedar Cherkent. In northern Wisconsin, loggers who have been in the industry for decades say they're experiencing one of the worst markets they've seen. Paper mill closures have led to a huge drop in timber prices that's now lasted for more than a year. As Rob Mentzer reports, this is threatening the livelihoods of many forest professionals.
There's a wall of hardwood stacked up here at Dennis Shenick's northern Wisconsin logging site. The mechanized arm of the harvester measures and cuts the timber. Haulers will take it to paper mills, which will turn it into pulp. There are still mills that buy this wood, but loggers like Shenick say these are some of the hardest times his industry has seen.
You know, the mills are full. They're flush. And they know it. And they know there's more power, horsepower out here to produce wood than what they need. So they can literally set our price.
Prices crashed in mid-2020 after the Ohio-based company Verso announced it would stop production at its massive Wisconsin Rapids paper mill. That mill was the region's largest buyer. Without it, there's a glut of pulpwood on the market, driving prices down. It's also driving some loggers out of the business.
There's guys dropping out now. For me, I even wonder, it's like, do we keep wearing this equipment out just to make our payments?
He's talking about payments on heavy equipment like the harvester. Like all loggers, Shenick has been scrambling to cut costs and control his losses.
There's no profit anymore. The profit is gone. Like always, we keep getting kicked down the road, you know, and we keep trying to survive. That's the nature of our beast.
Logging, hauling, and forestry employs some 64,000 people in Wisconsin. And for many, it's a family tradition spanning generations. The Northwoods relies on logging to make forests usable for recreation and to help protect them from invasive species and fires. Now, some loggers are quitting. Some have taken side jobs in construction. The rest are holding out hope that the Verso Mill will reopen one day soon.
It's not just the local community of Wisconsin Rapids. It's not just the people that work in that mill, but the ripple effect is enormous.
That's Rebecca Ludke. She's the director of the Wisconsin County Forests Association. She says some Northwoods counties rely on revenues from forest management to fund public services. About 20% of the wood Verso bought came from county forests.
When you take 20% of the wood completely out of the picture, there's going to be a gap, right, that needs to be filled.
Last year, a loggers group formed a nonprofit cooperative with the goal of buying and operating the Verso Mill. The idea had enthusiastic support within the timber industry and among politicians from both parties. But according to people involved in discussions, Verso itself was always lukewarm to it. This summer, an attempt to boost the cooperative with $65 million in state loans failed after Democrats and Republicans couldn't agree on how to pay for it. Industry analysts say it might not have made a difference anyway. Verso's share price today is well above where it was before the pandemic. Paul Fowler is director of the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Technology. He says he expects that the Wisconsin Rapids Mill will eventually sell, but Verso has no particular incentive to hurry.
Aside from how it looks to the communities in which they've operated and idled mills, they're probably sitting in a good position.
But that position leaves the Wisconsin timber industry and the communities that rely on it hanging in the balance. Henry Schinnebeck is the director of the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association.
To them, it's just a line on a piece of paper. But for us, it's not just a line on a piece of paper. It's everybody's life.
In July, a private equity firm that operates several paper mills offered to buy Verso. Late last month, Verso told shareholders that deal was only possible if the firm, quote, meaningfully increased its offer. For loggers like Shenick, that means more waiting. And the longer the Wisconsin Rapids Mill sits idle, the more lasting the effects will be. Rob Mentzer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now to PFAS contamination. The DNR has identified more than 50 sites in Wisconsin with these human-made forever chemicals in the environment. The city of Eau Claire earlier this month shut down almost half of its city wells due to PFAS concerns. What should the state and local communities do next to contain the PFAS pollution problem in drinking water? Are you drinking bottled water due to PFAS? It's 800-642-1234, a line for you. Lane Berg is the Eau Claire Utilities Manager. Lane, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Explain the situation with your wells and the readings you're seeing.
Okay. So we, in July of this year, we identified some wells that were higher in PFAS levels. So we shut those wells down voluntarily, just as a precaution. One thing that I want to point out is, you know, City of Eau Claire water is safe and always has been. Even when we first discovered this issue, our levels were below DNR recommended enforcement standards.
So
we shut down the wells out of precaution. We did notice once we shut those wells down that the PFAS plume migrated towards a few of our other wells. So, and we didn't actually shut down anything last week as was reported. That was actually done back in the end of July and early August. So
okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And that created some panic last week, but that was totally unnecessary. We've been doing some steps to, you know, try and help the situation, and those steps appear to be paying off. So we did install some piping in our well field, and we shaped two existing lagoons that we have, and so we were able to start dumping water from our higher level PFAS wells into those lagoons, or absorption ponds as they're now called. They've been retitled because they serve a different purpose. And we've actually seen our PFAS numbers in five of our wells go down, and our entry point sample has went down significantly. So the entry point sample is where the water leaves our water plant and goes out into the system. So that's really the most important number that we look at, is what, you know, what the entry point is, because that's what customers are receiving from us.
Yeah. So explain to us then, how many wells of concern are there at this point?
Yep. So we initially shut down four wells, and then we shut down an additional three, you know, like I said, back in late July, early August. So, you know, and as I mentioned, we are seeing numbers improving on five of our wells, and the entry point is improving. So, you know, things are looking better, but, you know, dumping into the absorption ponds is a temporary fix. We're probably going to have to do something else, but we'll know more after we work with our engineering firm that we're working with right now.
Yeah, how long can the city go on dumping contaminated water into these holding ponds?
Yep. So we're working with the DNR. This is a temporary fix, as we agreed to. You know, that's not a permanent solution for us. So we're thankful the DNR allowed us to do that. But the one thing to remember is that, you know, we're dumping that water on the ground, and it is soaking into the ground. But the important thing to remember is the PFAS is already in the ground. We're just removing it very short term and putting it back on the ground. The goal of dumping into our absorption ponds is to keep the PFAS plume from spreading to our good wells. And our absorption ponds are in a location where they should not impact our good wells. So that's why the DNR has allowed us to do this.
You've been Eau Claire's utility superintendent, or the utility manager, for a quarter century now. Have you been in the situation before with dumping water?
No, this is a new one for us. So we've always been, you know, very blessed to have an abundant supply of water, and we've never dealt with an issue, you know, exactly like this. Many years ago, there was an issue at our water plant with VOCs from industry. And so they had to construct a stripping tower to deal with that. But this is a new one for me that preceded my tenure with the City of Eau Claire.
So over the decades then, when did PFAS first come on your radar? And when did you first see it as a potential threat to public health?
Sure. So we actually did some proactive sampling back in 2020. And we analyzed our results. And we just took an entry point sample, what's going into our system. And our numbers were below the DNR recommended enforcement standards, you know, so we felt pretty good. We did detect PFAS in our water, but it was at levels that are very low. And then we did another round of sampling in 2021 here. And we met with the DNR on July 1st of 2021, and they introduced something new to us. The Department of Health Services developed a new hazard index, and it's a guidance tool that that helps deal with PFAS. And they analyzed our numbers, and according to this new guidance tool, they suggested, you know, maybe we should look at our individual wells. And so we did. Then we sampled all of our wells, and that helped us to discover that we had four of the wells that were slightly higher in PFAS levels than the rest of them. So, you know, the new hazard index is actually a valuable tool. It helped us to identify that we do have some wells that are higher than others. So, you know, as a proactive measure, you know, our goal is to keep our PFAS levels as low as possible. And so we shut those four wells off immediately. And now we're looking at options of how we proceed from here.
Yeah, and we're going to look long term here in a moment. But in the meantime, how is this affecting water distribution to homes and businesses and schools?
Yeah, so we're actually doing really well. We have a tremendous amount of wells in our well field. And so we were able to keep up with production, you know, through our busy months through July, August, September. Those are typically our higher pumping months. And we were able to keep up with that, producing safe water. And we kept up with the demand. So we had no watering bans or anything. So we did really good this year. You know, now pumping has slowed down quite a bit. So we're doing very well right now. We will know, you know, very soon. We're going to meet with our engineering firm, and that'll help us determine how we go from here. We're discussing different options for us. You know, do we drill new wells in locations not affected by PFAS? Do we install treatment systems? And we're going to lean on our engineering firms to help us determine the best path for the city of Eau Claire.
We have Eau Claire Utilities Manager Lane Berg explaining the PFAS situation there and the water supply next steps for his city working with an engineering firm. Are you worried about your exposure to PFAS and confused about what is a safe level? Is your community doing enough to address forever chemicals? Did you install a water filtration system, or do you rely on bottled water? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Lane Berg here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the PFAS problem in Wisconsin, what Eau Claire is doing about forever chemicals that it sees in its city wells. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As far back as the 1940s, scientists developed a class of chemicals that are used in a wide range of products. Think food packaging, nonstick cookware, some cosmetics, paints, varnishes, sealants. The list goes on. The DNR has identified dozens of PFAS contamination sites around the state. Are you worried about your drinking water? Has your well been tested? Is your municipal water system exceeding safe levels for PFAS? How did you learn this? 800-642-1234. Lane Berg is Eau Claire's utilities manager with us for about 9 more minutes. So, Lane, looking at sources of this pollution, the DNR had directed the Chippewa Valley Airport to investigate its use of firefighting foam at the airport. That order came in August, I believe. Do you know the status of that investigation?
Yeah, I don't know a ton about that. The DNR is actually handling the investigation portion of this, so I know they identified them as a PRP or potentially responsible party, but we're letting the DNR handle that portion for us. We don't need to deal with that. So they're doing a great job in working with the airport to determine if it was a source from them or if it's somewhere else. So, yep, we'll let the DNR handle that portion of it for us.
But what do you think? Do you think the airport is a source of the PFAS well contamination?
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to allow the DNR to work on that. I don't know for sure, so I would just hate to speculate.
In terms of speculating, though, what could other suspected sources be for the rising levels of PFAS in your wells?
Yeah, so, you know, as you mentioned, it's been used in so many products and whatnot over the years, nonstick cookware, firefighting foam, clothing, you know, water repellent clothing. You know, PFAS compounds, they have a unique trait of repelling both oil and water. So they're, you know, obviously the value to that for nonstick clothing and cookware and whatnot is endless. But, you know, as we've learned about many other things over the years, maybe they're not so good for our health. So So it could be from a number of sources, and we'll look to the DNR to narrow that down for us.
Explain for us working with an engineering firm and what you might be able to do to remedy this long-term or to contain this problem in a long-term fix, if there is a fix for forever chemicals. What have you been advised to do?
Yeah, so we're working with Gannett Fleming right now, and they're doing some groundwater modeling for us, and we're hoping that they can identify the limits of the plume, you know, how long we'll be dealing with it, the direction it's flowing, and then they'll also be able to predict what happens when we run certain wells in combination. And, you know, we're really going to look to their guidance to help us get through this. So many things depend on, you know, what this groundwater modeling study tells us, and that'll determine the direction that we go. You know, some of the initial things we've looked at is drilling additional wells in areas not affected by PFAS. There are treatment systems that treat PFAS up in Woodbury, Minnesota. They've installed a treatment system recently that uses a media. I believe they use activated carbon, but there are also systems that use resins, and that's a possible option. So, you know, but we're really going to lean on Gannett Fleming to guide us in the right direction and, you know, help us pick the best choice for our situation.
What about cost? How would Eau Claire pay for the best solution here?
Yep, we're working on that right now. We'll meet with our finance team and discuss what our options are. So, you know, there is quite a bit of talk about federal funding for PFAS. We did meet with Representative Jody Emerson and Senator Jeff Smith this week, and they toured our water plant and they looked at our absorption ponds, and so they're going to go back to the state level and see if there's any funding being discussed at that level. So we're optimistic that you know, there may be some funds that assist with this. I think as you will see, this is a bigger, widespread issue than just Eau Claire or some of the other places that have been mentioned. I think as time goes on here, you're going to see this affecting a large portion of the state. So I hope that, you know, we treat this the same way we've been doing with lead services. We have a very aggressive lead service replacement program, thanks to DNR funding. So, you know, without that, we might not be able to make that happen. So we're optimistic that, you know, PFAS will follow the same path and hopefully get some funding for us to deal with it. If we don't get funding, we'll deal with it. This is something that we have to take care of, and we will.
We're talking with Lane Berg, who manages Eau Claire Utilities, as we discuss how the city is addressing PFAS concerns following the recent shutdown of some city wells. You can join in. Do you live in Eau Claire? What do you think of the city and its approach to PFAS? What should the state do to address PFAS in our groundwater? 800-642-1234. Lane, you know, along those lines, that you're not alone in this. Eau Claire is not alone in this PFAS problem. Contamination, a huge problem in Peshtigo, French Island, other communities around the state. Are you in contact with other utilities managers and other communities to figure out solutions and what others are doing?
Yeah, we've talked to other officials that are dealing with the problem. We've done a lot of research. We're kind of fortunate that we were not the first one to deal with this. So we've you know, done our research and saw how others dealt with it. And we're trying to, you know, not take the path that, you know, some of them did. It's difficult when you're the first one dealing with an issue. So we're trying to avoid, you know, some things that bog us down. But we were able to get a lot of things accomplished in a very short amount of time. You know, because of that, we used other best practices. And you know, we're really fortunate in the city here. We have some excellent city staff, and we have support of our higher ranking officials. So, you know, we're fortunate. Everybody is supportive, and, you know, we've got a good brain trust here to deal with it and, you know, do what's right for the city of Eau Claire.
And speaking of the SWIFT timeline that you're on, when will the modeling study be complete?
Yeah, we've actually talked to Gannett Fleming, and they've proposed a meeting for next week to go over their preliminary findings. So, So things are progressing very nicely. You know, we hope within a month we'll have, you know, much, much better direction, and then we'll start start progressing towards a solution for this. So, you know, we're discussing, you know, do we prepare for drilling wells? You know, do we, and we've already met with people that install treatment systems. So we're looking at things. We're going to fast track whatever it is that we need to do.
Well, broadening out to look at the federal level here, the Biden administration announced this week it's going to move to set enforceable drinking water limits on PFAS. And once the mandatory standards go into effect, which, you know, will take years, local water utilities like Eau Claire could face penalties if, you know, you fail to meet them. How do you feel about enforceable federal compliance standards to approach the PFAS contamination?
Yeah, it's, you know, as a utility, it's difficult. You know, we're dealing with something that we had no control over. So, I feel everybody's pain. You know, there's other municipalities that are dealing with the same thing. You know, we didn't put the PFAS in the ground. We're just unfortunately stuck dealing with it. So, you know, I'd certainly like to see a lot of effort put into funding, you know, to deal with this instead of penalizing people. But that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. So how should the federal government, the EPA specifically, help communities like Eau Claire address this public health problem?
Well, our DNR and DHS have been really good to work with. They've presented things. They introduced this new hazard index. So, you know, for government agencies to work with municipalities in a partnership, that's the best approach. We're thankful that the DNR has worked with us and the DHS, you know, the hazard index that was recently developed, that helped us to identify our, you know, our, I guess, most or the highest level wells that we have. So that, you know, we are thankful for that. You know, I'd much rather see government agencies working in a partnership as opposed to, you know, discussing penalties and whatnot. You know, we're stuck in a tough situation as a municipality dealing with something that we did not put in the ground.
Lane, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was very nice to talk to you this morning.
You too, Lane Berg, Eau Claire Utilities Manager. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.